call the meeting to order. Should we do roll first?
Yes, that would be a good idea.
Okay. Sherry, do you want to start?
Sherry Friedenrich, present.
Min Chai, present.
Min Chai, present.
John Moore, present.
Tom Hammond, present.
It's right there, Tom.
Okay, there you go. Hit the button, just hit the screen. There you go. And hit the mute. There you go. Now you're in business.
Frank Davies, present.
Believe we have a quorum?
We have a quorum.
We can proceed. First item is the approval of the minutes of September 12th, 2019.
I move to approve.
Motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor, please.
I have a discussion.
Ah, please.
May I?
Yes, absolutely.
Ms. Lester, I'm not sure I understand this paragraph four, the way it's written. It's not clear to me what it says. And it says the bylaws revised to require a majority of three of the five voting members. But what did it change from? Remember, we had a different voting procedure and changed it to it. So that doesn't say that here.
We did. This is Suzanne Lester, CEO, Public Finance Director, Mr. Chairman in the committee. The discussion was, and the minutes were intended to reflect that after the procedures were amended so that the elected treasurer, tax collector, and auditor controller were no longer voting members, there was a concern that in the bylaws, the way it stood is that a majority of voting members would constitute a quorum, which would be three, but then a majority of the members present could pass an item, which was two, and that was a concern. And so the bylaws were changed to that there would, in order for an item to move forward affirmatively that was proposed, that three
of the five public.
Right, not only would three make a voting quorum, but three would be required to affirmatively approve an item.
And the ex officio officers could vote, is that correct?
Mm-mm. That is not correct.
Okay, they did not vote.
That's correct.
May I suggest that we revise these and say what the policy was and what it is now? Because I think that would clarify that paragraph.
We'll clarify the minutes to reflect that.
Thank you. That's all for me.
Okay, any other comments? As far as the approval, subject to item four being revised, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 I think I'll have to abstain.
Yes, I think you. All those opposed? Any abstentions?
Yes, Carlos Carney.
Thank you. Next item of business is our 2020 calendar.
Mr. Chairman and the committee, this is Suzanne Lester again. Each December, we bring forward an agenda item proposing the calendar, agendizing the calendar for the next calendar year of meetings that we set in advance. Previously, we've always scheduled monthly meetings. The bylaws say that the committee needs to meet at least quarterly. We discussed last time that the county has paid off a lot of debt. We end up canceling a lot of the meetings because we don't have any new business. We were directed last time to propose a quarterly schedule. So we've done that here. And what I did is go back and look at months. I went back 5 years to see what months we typically have items to bring forward for the committee. We always have a meeting in September and December for this pension prepayment program. And it looked like, you know, March and May were other good months. We typically don't bring things forward in June. It's the end of our fiscal year, so we're usually not asking the board to act on anything in June. So the proposed dates are March 12, 2020, May 14th, September 10th, and December 3rd. Now, if something comes up where we have some business to bring forward that we'd like to then go to the Board of Supervisors, we would ask the chair to call a meeting and agendize a meeting so that staff could bring that item forward.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second, Carlos Carney.
Discussion. I would like to see, I don't have a trouble with these four dates, but I'd like to see the other dates out there. So when we're planning calendars for personal things, mm-hmm. we know that we don't think there's a meeting, but mm-hmm. there could be one. So if talking about vacations or trips, you just can't pick the date out.
Sure. You know, what we have typically scheduled is the second Thursday of the month. So we could send it. We'll send an email in a different format than this so it doesn't get confused. We'll try to differentiate, alternative meeting dates, which could mirror
right.
Our typical schedule. So we can definitely send that out.
Any other comments or questions?
Sherry,
I'm sorry.
No, thank you very much, Chair Moore. I sit on a board for a not-for-profit, and they have meetings twice a year. I know the May meeting I would not be able to make, so I don't know if we might, if that is probably a meeting or if it's just a kind of a holder. And right now they have not set their schedule, but I do believe it may be the Thursday, September 10th. So I don't know, again, that meeting, it does sound like we would probably have a meeting that day. It's possible it's the next week, but I do know that the May meeting I would have a conflict with. Again, I'm a non-voting member now.
Right.
Obviously, I have input. If I wasn't there, I would certainly make sure that I would provide my input to the chair and to public finance if there is something that was significant on. But it would be a meeting that I may have to miss since if we're limiting them to these ones.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments, questions?
Nope.
Call for the vote. Those in favor
aye.
of adopting the proposed calendar signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The ayes have it. Suzanne, you want to give us a update on the
yes.
status report?
Yes. At our last meeting, we brought a couple of items forward. One is we were re-qualifying our underwriter pool. We had done an RFP, and I'm saying this mostly, repeating this mostly for Mr. Carney and Mr. Davies' benefit. Every couple of years or so, we re-qualify our underwriter pool, and then we have other schedules where we re-qualify our municipal advisor and our bond and disclosure council pools so that when we have a bond financing that we would like to propose and we send out an RFP to procure a finance team, each time we don't have to send it out to the world. We send it out to the world, basically, anyone who has signed up on the county's electronic procurement site to receive an RFP, BidSync, will send it out every couple of years to pre-qualify a pool, and that's what we brought forward at the last meeting for underwriters, and the committee recommended the staff proposal of 12 underwriters, and we took that to the Board of Supervisors, and they approved as recommended. So,
and that's for a 2-year term on the pool.
Correct. And then at the same time, the staff had done an RFP to re-procure our finance team for our CFD program for Rancho Mission Viejo. So we sent RFPs out for bond and disclosure counsel, municipal advisor, and underwriters to the pre-qualified pool to select a team for the next 3 to 5 years. And the team recommended was approved by the Board of Supervisors, which was Stradling, Yaka, Carlson, and Routh for bond and disclosure counsel.
Did we have representation from the committee on that selection committee? We haven't in the past. Was it Tom?
Yes, it was Tom.
That's what I thought.
That was on, yeah.
And then municipal advisors, Fieldman Rolap, and CSG advisors. And then the underwriters were Stiefel, Nicholas, Piper, Jaffrey, and RBC Capital.
Did you have any blowback from the financial advisors, from the ones we rejected? I mean, did anybody want to appeal or argue with you?
No.
Okay.
No, you know, and we describe in our RFP the appeal process very clearly, and they have 5 days to do so, but we did not have any negative comment back.
Were the selected advisors incumbents as well?
Most of them, yes.
Okay.
We found in the past that they have a leg up because they've got the experience and they don't have to rediscover the things they've learned before.
Okay, so I think that's a receive and file.
All right.
That was a status update.
Next item is number 5, recommend to the Board of Supervisors the issuance of short-term taxable pension obligation bonds, 2020 Series A, in an amount not to exceed $499 million.
And Chair, may I step down because I would have a conflict of interest. I am a party to the transaction, and so I would be available here in the audience in case there are questions.
I would say a big party. You're buying them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Today, CEO Public Finance is requesting your committee's recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to issue the 2020 pension obligation bonds. And I cannot believe it's blowing my mind that I'm saying 2020, but here we are for 2020. The bonds to prepay the county's fiscal year 2020-2021 employer contribution to the retirement system. On July...
Ms. Lester, could you take a moment for our new member and kind of explain what that situation is, how we do this, and the purpose of the bonds?
I can definitely do that, but if Mr. Carney would like, but he and I met. He came to our offices yesterday for an hour, and we did go through that background. And
okay.
I appreciate the offer, but I can pass on it and just proceed along.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
On July 11th of 2019, the Retirement Board, OSERS, approved an early payment option allowing plan sponsors to prepay the fiscal year 2020-2021 employer contribution by January 15th, 2020. And in return, plan sponsors would receive a 4.5% discount on the retired contribution. And then on September 12th, this item was recommended by PFAC. And on October 8th of this year, we received approval from the Board of Supervisors to proceed with structuring the financing. The 2020 POBs would be issued in an amount not to exceed $499 million. The expected issuance amount is approximately $464 million, because as in the past, we have certain county departments, for example, John Wayne Airport, OC Waste and Recycling, certain county departments have the ability to prepay using existing cash resources, so they do not need to participate in the financing. but we include them in the not-to-exceed amount in case circumstances changed between the board approval and the date of pricing. The county treasurer tax collector has agreed to purchase the bonds for the Orange County Investment Fund. The bonds will be structured similar to last year's POBs with four fixed rate maturities ranging from the first maturity date of July 31st, 2020 and the last maturity date on April 30th, 2021. The estimated total interest cost is 2.87%. The source of the debt service payments to repay is the retirement expense that's collected from each county department during fiscal year 2020-2021, every 2 weeks during payroll. The estimated net budget savings to the county is $10.2 million. If the county did not issue these POBs, county departments would be expected to absorb the additional $10.2 million into their budgets in fiscal year 2021. The next steps in the process would be to request board approval on December 17th, and the transaction would close by January 15th, 2020. And that concludes my presentation. I'm available to answer questions. We have our consultants here, as well as Sherry Friedenrich, our treasurer tax collector, to answer questions on the buy side.
In reading through the documents, one of the key documents is the 2007 default judgment. They reference a copy. I didn't find any in my papers. I'd like to get a copy of the default judgment.
Of the validation, sure.
So you understand that's the thing, that this is the 10th renewal of this, and it's all based on that first one. So you should probably make sure you understand that.
Thank you.
Anybody?
I have a question about the amount that you referred to, $464 million expected issuance. And on the summary, page 2 of the agenda staff report, it refers to an OSERS approved discounted prepayment of $498,629,851. So is the difference between that issuance and the expected discounted prepayment cash that's available in whatever sources?
So the difference is the county departments that are going to prepay using their own cash.
Out of cash.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. And so also, too, on that same summary, the pension prepayment summary, it says gross savings to FY 2021 of the county budget is $22,438,344. And I think we just got through saying that the savings is going to be $10.2 million. So how do we get from one number to the other?
When we take out the interest financing cost of a little over $10 million and cost of issuance, then that's so we have the gross and then taking out the cost of financing to get to the net.
Like the opportunity cost, so to speak, on the time?
Hard cost.
No, the interest expense. So we're gonna pay interest to the treasurer on the financing.
Okay.
So taking that out of the gross to get to the net.
Got it.
And then about $80,000 out of pocket for the professionals.
Correct.
Mr. Hammond.
Yeah, a couple of questions. I always have to ask the question because it's a requirement. Are we current on our 2019 pension payments?
Yes, we are.
And they'll be retired prior to this?
They will be retired April 30th of 2020. So they won't be retired prior to the issuance, but they are on schedule. We're collecting retirement expense from the county departments, and according to the four tranches on the debt service schedule, they will be retired April 30th of 2020.
Thank you. Can you give me just the best of your recollection what the discount rate was? We're 4.5 this year. What was it last year and the year before? Do you remember?
The last 2 years, I believe it's been 4.5%.
Has it? Ms. Friedenrich, how much, what is the return that OSER has been realizing in the last 2 or 3 years?
Thank you.
Thank you, through the chair. Last year, OSERS essentially was flat. It did not have a return. I think it was very slightly negative. This year does look like a much better year, as you can see in the market. We do have a diversified portfolio. We're not the 60-40. We do have a lot of alternative investments. We are what's considered a cash-positive system, so we're the incoming money is not just going to pay retiree benefits, so we have the ability to put some of that cash out longer in alternative investments that do not have the same liquidity. And I'd have to check the prior year what our return was there. Our discount or our rate is 7% currently, and this next year is our triennial year to review all of our assumptions. So that will be reviewed in 2020.
So OSERS went underwater last year.
Right, we did not make our 7%. We essentially were at flat, and so those dollars then were amortized out to add to the liability debt. And as of last year end, we were just under on a market value basis, I believe we were just under 70% funded. I think on a book value basis, because of the way the gains and losses are smooth, I believe we were slightly, I think we were at 71 or 71 and a half.
Yeah, what's kind of the safe harbor or the field come, but was it the 60%?
No, 80% is the GFOA. They're recommending an 80% funded ratio. So the plan is within that 20 years, we do meet that, we would meet 100%. We've had a couple of items that probably have come up. Mortality tables have been updated. We've been trying to stay ahead of those. So we haven't seen probably the impact of some of the other plans. But people are living longer, and so that's having an impact on the amount of funding that would be needed to make those retiree benefits.
Next question, you can probably help me with this too. The annual cost of the county for this is, say, $500 million, $500 million. What percentage of the Orange County budget is that? Did I hear the number? It used to be 8% or 10% of the budget for the county was for pension obligation costs. Does anybody know that?
Boy, the general fund budget, which is kind of the discretionary portion, is about $750 million. So if you're talking about, again, this goes across all funds because some of those are enterprise funds like the Waste and Recycling, the John Wade Airport. They are then passed along to those funds that they charge. A lot of the federal money is coming in, the charges are due. So I don't know how much of this is actually part of that general fund, but certainly, you know, a lot of it would not be. So I don't have that information, Suzanne.
I mean, I don't have that at the top of my head, but we could provide that as
a
follow-up.
Yeah, it seemed like the budget for all enterprises in the county was like $3 billion?
Oh, our total budget is over $7 billion. I'm sorry.
Right.
The total budget for all the, you know, capital and everything is
so
over $7 billion.
In the 8 to 10% yeah. range.
Okay, yes. I'm
that
sorry
was my
on
question.
That. Yes.
I'm sorry. I had a hard time getting there. So we're within, and is that rated an okay 8 to 10% for municipalities and pension obligations?
You know, I am not familiar with any benchmark that's related to that. I know probably when you look at budgets, 50 to 75% are probably people. So a lot of the costs are people, but Suzanne may have some better thoughts on that. I'm not familiar with a benchmark in terms of total budgets.
What I can share is what we hear from the credit rating agencies when we go out to issue bonds. And they usually have, you know, several metrics that they're grading the county on. We always get excellent marks on the county's leadership and management and the way that we have handled, you know, the bankruptcy recovery payoff. Most recently, our vehicle license fee lawsuit of $150 million judgment that we paid over 5 years. One area they'd like to see us improve is our general fund reserve balance, which we've had a goal of reaching a GFOA recommended 3 months of operating revenue, and we've achieved that. And so they've given us points for improving there, but they still say that, you know, we should be at a higher level. Our debt profile is excellent. We have very, very little debt, but pension is a level where they would like to see our funding level higher.
Don't they, in fact, rate other counties, and you can compare the, I think that's what you're getting at, isn't it? What are percentages compared to other counties?
They'd like us to be higher funded.
And who are we? Who are we in the marketplace with at this present time for our current funding?
I mean, they don't name counties that they're comparing us to, but you know, we compare ourselves a lot to, you know, San Diego, our peers, our surrounding counties. Riverside, San Diego is a lot the same size as the county Santa Clara, Contra Costa.
Well, I guess the question is, when do we get alarmed, or if we're any need to get alarmed about this? And I think in previous meetings we've had this discussion, and that somewhere around 8 to 10% of your gross budget is within the ballpark and typical of our peers. And I know you don't have those numbers at hand, but I just thought maybe you might.
We are very similarly situated to other California counties as far as pension liability. I'd say many of the municipalities are in CalPERS. I'd say a benefit of OSERS and the county being approximately 75% of OSERS. You know, there are folks on the retirement board that are looking after Orange County specifically, you know, as opposed to CalPERS, it's of course a lot more diverse and spread out. Yeah. And, you know, when we were talking about how OSERS was doing this year and the prior year, I have the number for 2017 also here, and OSERS operates, their fiscal year is calendar year. Calendar year ending 2017, the returns were 14.74%. And then
18.
Pardon?
18, I believe, was way
was negative. What Sherry was talking about, essentially flat. And then another statistic I've kept because your committee has been interested in this topic is, you know, how that converts to the county's fiscal year. And this transaction in particular, and so we've converted, the retirement system has provided us, and I've been keeping them, the statistics, for 3 years now, the OSERS return for fiscal year 2018-19 was 6.65%. That compares to CalPERS and CalSTRS. CalPERS was 6.7%. CalSTRS was 6.8%. Mm-hmm. The previous year, 2017-18, OSERS was 7.9%. CalPERS was 8.6%. CalSTRS was 9.01%. And then I've got one more year. OSERS 2016-17, OSERS was 13.1%. CalPERS was 11.3%. And CalSTRS was 13.4.
Did I misunderstand you when you said that your portfolio was more, I guess, stock related than the bonds than the other ones?
No,
I'm sorry if I might through Chair Moore or to Chair Moore. A typical asset allocation for pension funds, it used to be 60-40, 60% equities, 40% fixed income,
right?
And OSERS has probably not had Because we are cash positive, we have alternative investments, so our equity percentage is lower than perhaps some of our other peer groups. And we have some of those dollars, certainly on both sides, perhaps a fixed income and the equity, put into the alternative assets. That would include real estate, other hedge funds, private equity, other types of investments that maybe some have, like the private equity obviously has less liquidity because you are in it for a longer period. Mm-hmm. We recently added a kind of a hedge, so we are doing more in long treasuries, and we are doing more in what you would consider more fixed income-like, but to prevent against that recession. As you know, the market has been done well really since 2009, since the Great Recession, and it is, I think it's at another high today, or almost high, so, you know, it certainly is possible that at some point it is going to take a downturn. So last year, if you remember, right at the end of the year, it did take the big downturn. That was why we really lost all those gains that we had. But we aren't that typical 60-40. I would have to look at each specifics for our equities, but we have both domestic and international equities, and then we do have quite a bit in private equity and real estate, and then we also have our fixed income, which banks have gotten out of a lot of direct lending. So some of those direct lending customers have gone and moved over to some of the pension plans where the banks are no longer doing their traditional lending because some of the Basel changes into their reserve requirements. They've had different changes to their strategy, and some of the pension funds have moved into some of those areas. So it's not your typical fixed income because it's not like you're buying treasuries, but you are buying coupon debt coming through that's coming off of that. And same with real estate. If you've got a commercial building, you would be then getting that rental income, which generally is somewhat stable. Of course, if the real estate market, you know, drops, then certainly you could have a higher vacancy rate with that. So if that helps a little bit,
I was listening to the other percentages, and I thought that we may have more stock, which means our return should be higher. I mean,
right.
I think the market's up over 20% for the year.
Right. We are definitely less in the equity areas, and that's where you've seen, as Ms. Lester has mentioned, we have lagged some of the other CalSTRS and CalPERS because we have less in that equity area. We've turned some of those into that longer term, which we hope will certainly provide that consistent returns, because equities, of course, are at all-time highs almost, and at some point what goes up, you know, will go down at some point, perhaps for a small period, and maybe then continue going up. So we're trying to balance that within our 7% return target.
Okay. I have another question for you. On you're the purchaser of the bonds, and it said that they are exempt from SEC Rule 15C2 through 12, which indicates you have to make a disclosure. Are you the one who makes that decision that they are exempt?
Thank you, Chair Moore. We would work with our legal counsel to make sure that we are in compliance with all of those. And our goal here is to have lower costs for the county. And that is why we're doing a private placement.
Right.
That allows us to not have some of those regulations apply. That allows the county to save money. Because we do our due diligence on the county to make sure that it's appropriate for our investors, of which certainly the county is one of those, but we also have school funds, and we have some small amounts from voluntary pool participants. So that would be part of the items that we're looking at, is to which of those go into the contract that we would have to buy those, and certainly keeping the cost low but still protecting my investors, and
right,
obviously from the county side having their county council review it.
It's county council, it's not outside.
No,
we council?
Would we have our specific, we have kind of a break between the county council, where we have a county council support us, and then public finance has a different county council. Mr. Daftery here is supporting them. Mr. Meg Sisai, who is right here, is the county council that represents my department.
And he would make sure that we're in compliance with Rule 15C2, that we don't have to list it.
And we also have Phil Morgan,
yes, our bond
from Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe Bond Council, who drafted the legal documents and is working with the county and the treasurer on the transaction.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
If I may. I was just looking on page 2 at the bottom. There's a table that explains the cost and the net budget savings on average. It seems like since Orange County has participated in the prepayment program since 2011, the average net budget savings has been about like 15.6 million. In the last year in 2019, it seems like the net savings is significantly lower compared to the prior years, and it's probably attributable to the higher interest and issuance cost. Can you kind of address that and speak a little bit more about that so we could better understand?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman and committee members. The last couple of years, so prior to the last couple of years, I believe the discount offered was 5.8%. So, you know, at a certain point, just a few years ago, OSERS was giving plan sponsors the discount of the assumed rate of return. So we've in the past gotten discounts as high as 7.75%, and then they've come down to probably about 3 and 4 years ago, 5.8%, and then this is the third year of 4.5%. Okay. So that has a significant impact on the savings. But then last year, we did have the interest rates had gone up. There had been a couple of some Fed increases that impacted this transaction. And because of the Fed reductions, interest rates are expected. We're expecting 2.87% is our estimate at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Perhaps you can help me understand how the fluctuations in the market rates would affect the eventual outcome of this deal. And so as I'm looking at it, it seems like as market rates go up, it makes this rate, for the county standpoint, I know there's other parties, from the county standpoint, a better deal. Would that be a correct?
Well, for the county, we want interest rates to be as low as possible.
Right.
From the purchaser standpoint of the investment pool, they would like interest rates to be higher so they and their investors can earn more for the
right.
pool.
But just looking at it from the standpoint that I, you know, simplifying things, I see that we have an obligation to pay out over, I guess, what, 4 installments, these bonds, which at a particular rate. And if these, instead of bonds, it's mortgage payment on my house.
There are different rates for the different tranches.
Right. But the higher the market rates are, the better the deal was that I locked in my payout mm-hmm. interest rate, right? Is that a correct statement?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm probably oversimplifying. I'm just looking at it from the standpoint that we would have an obligation to make payments mm-hmm. to Orange County Investment Fund.
Correct.
Right? At specific terms and specific rates.
Correct.
And those are going to happen 6 to 18 months from now.
Oh, that's correct.
Right. And so in over that time, if market rates go up, and again, I'm simplifying it and I'm
correct.
Thinking, if instead I'm, you know, instead of this, I'm buying a house and I've negotiated mortgage rates,
mm-hmm.
then as rates go up, I'm looking smarter and smarter.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
In the other direction, if rates go down, has staff evaluated how much staff rates would have to go down for this to be nuts? Such a great deal. And the reason I ask that is that, you know, we're looking at a 4.5% discount
sure.
on payouts is going to happen. We don't even owe the money yet for mm-hmm. 6 to 18 months.
Correct.
And according to page 3,
mm-hmm.
this deal could cost the county not to exceed 4%. So 0.5% concerns me about whether we come out ahead, looking at it just from the county standpoint. Mm-hmm. Depending on market fluctuations.
May I comment sure. on that? It doesn't matter whether rates go up or go down
right.
to the county.
Locked in.
It's locked in. So now the loser or the winner could be OSERS. I mean, they're the ones that benefit or lose when rates go up or go down. But the county, it doesn't matter whether they go up or go down in this fiscal year.
Yeah, we have our deal.
Next year, of course, we're going to have to pay the pain. if OSERS loses, that means the discount rate's going to change. So we have to pay it eventually, but for the year, it doesn't matter.
And there's a true up at the end of the year between OSERS and the county, and you know, it's a closed system. So to the extent that the money is sent to OSERS and we meet or exceed the 7%, that benefits the system by reducing the unfunded liability. To the extent that we don't meet that, then
they add on to it. That's, we had that discussion the last time we did this.
That's correct. And in my meeting with Mr. Carney yesterday, and we were just discussing, you know, well, what could be the possible downside of this? I explained that each year we do, OSER's actuary, Siegel, prepares an actuary report that's updated, and they discuss the results and the actuary results of what caused the changes in OSER's funding, and you know, things like investment earnings, as Ms. Friedenrich mentioned, a change in the mortality table, a change in other assumptions, but never has this transaction ever been a blip of something that's caused a change in the retirement system results.
Miss, you got me thinking about something. Ms. Friedenrich,
mm-hmm.
Does OSERS hedge this bet they make on us?
If I might, through Chair Moore, two things. One is when, you know, OSERS takes a risk by getting all of this money in literally on one day.
Right.
And that is one of the reasons that OSERS has voted to reduce it from just the regular discount rate down to a lower rate. Because, of course, bringing that money, if the market goes up that day, that's great. If the market goes down, that is certainly the risk. And, of course, to OSERS, because all of the risk is passed through to the plan sponsors, of which, as Ms. Lester mentioned, the county is 70 to 80% of that. So certainly a lot of that. So certainly what happens is, how is that money then invested? Some is maintained shorter, some may be put out longer. So certainly some type of process is done, but there is some risk, because what happens on the day that market comes in, if the market were to go down, we usually put it in a overnight. It comes in on a Friday or a Monday. It usually goes into our it usually goes into a market through a I can't remember the name of our kind of our overnight. It's intended to mirror the market. Of course, we have the ability, if we wanted to leave it at the bank or to do something if we saw that the day was not going well. There are some options when funds are coming in, but if it was 3 days later, again, that money starts being deployed. But it is that risk, and I think that's why OSERS has really said, we don't want to put all our eggs in one basket. We're not going to give that 7%. We're going to temper it and hope that if we do have a loss that first period, we're going to recover it through our asset allocation and through our investments that we have.
So the answer to the question is no. They don't hedge.
We don't do any hedging on it. You know, there may be hedging in some of the investments that we do.
Yeah.
So the investments might have hedging associated with it, but we are not doing any specific buying of hedges.
If the interest rates fall 200 basis points in 6 months,
mm-hmm.
OSERS could be vulnerable for a loss because of the commitment. But and so they don't hedge that. They just play it day to day.
Right. We do allow, again, some of our investments have different strategies, and so some of them could have hedges associated with them, but not as a specific strategy for us. So no, we did do some currency hedging for a period of time because of some of the currency rate fluctuation. So we have done some, but it's not something that we are normally, it's just not part of our portfolio that we are going to be hedging those. And that was specifically for currency because we do a lot of international, and we were trying to make sure that if, you know, if the dollar got stronger or weaker, we were well positioned to still have those returns. I did want to bring up one item, if I might, through the chair,
sure.
Is that the county actually has a couple of pieces in this, because, of course, the county is borrowing the money and they're paying the treasurer who's buying that investment. But my investments, approximately 50% of them, are made up with county funds. So if rates go up, and we have this transaction where you've got a certain interest rate, then the county, theoretically, because their money is in the pool, we've already locked in that rate for that coupon payment, they won't be able to take advantage of that for these funds that we've purchased. And again, alternately, if rates go down, we've locked in that. So again, the county is getting the benefit of having a higher rate because you locked it in on January 15th. And one of the things that we look at with public finance is we try to look at a day where we don't expect the market to move a lot, because this transaction happens right after the first of the year, and we price it on a certain day based on the Treasury. So we try to look to say, what is that history, so that it's not a day, because either side could, I mean, whatever we decide, we pick a date and we go with that date. And you know, we want to make sure that it's a fair market for both sides, and we have that flexibility if something happened that we could make a change if there was something unusual, because we do have both parties at the table, and it is that private transaction that we certainly could do, other than we have a date certain to pay OSERS, you know, the county does, but the pricing is set a week or so before to try to alleviate, so it is. For our investors, it's a fair price, and certainly for the county, instead of going into the open market where they might have a little flexibility on selling these POBs, they have the ability to work with us on that also. So we hope it seems to have worked well for those years we've had it.
And I think the Fed, through Chairman Powell, just announced that they're going to be flat.
Yes.
No anticipation.
Yep.
Any other comments?
Yeah, if I can, Mr. Chair, follow up on Committee Member Hammond's question. If there were to be a drop of 200 basis points for whatever reason, mm-hmm. again, I'm just trying to understand how the pieces fit together and who benefits and who doesn't benefit. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a very good thing for the Orange County Investment Fund? Because you're getting a rate that's much higher than market rates for, you know, whatever, 18 months?
So if I might, through the chair, what you're sure. asking is if interest rates were to go from negative. The current rates of 1.75 to 2% down to zero?
Or even, say, it even just drops by 100 basis point, 1%.
Right. Well, what the county's doing in order to get that discount, they have to go into the market and pay OSERS by a certain date. So the rates that we're looking at here would be very similar if they did it in an open market situation. They have to make the payment by the 16th or so of January. So whatever those rates are, and if the rate dropped the next week, yes, it would be bad because they now are going to overpay for that. But as you did hear, the Fed came out yesterday and they basically didn't expect any. That would be a decision that public finance would look to see what are those types of things, and they would forecast the rate. And if the rate was not going to, if they felt that, you know, they weren't going to be able to get enough from that discount, then they may do something differently. I mean, I think there is some flexibility from them. But certainly from our point, obviously, if it goes down, it protects our investors, of which the county is 50%. They still have that market yield just because we've gone into basically buying an investment at a specific rate.
Okay. In answer to your question, yes, it would be bad for OSERS.
But I'm talking about, I'm asking the question from the perspective
sure.
of the Orange County Investment Fund.
OSERS.
No. Orange County Investment Fund is the pool that I invest.
Oh,
that's the pool for the treasurer.
Right. Me,
so if rates go down, we would benefit, but the county, again,
okay.
is part of that pool,
get
so
that.
They have it. But of course, if rates go down, we're going to benefit because, of course, everything we're going to reinvest our coupon payments is going to be at lower rates.
I just
no
want to
question.
Verify that.
On both sides, of the rates going
the right
up or
dots.
Down, you're exactly
right.
correct.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It would certainly benefit just like any other investment in our pool.
No other questions here.
Does Mr. McClure have anything he wants to tell us?
I'm good, thank you.
You sure? Good. And no further questions?
Thank you.
Then I think we need a motion, I guess, to forward this on.
So moved.
Second?
I'm sorry, John, what's the motion for?
On number five, just that we move this along. Recommend to the Board of Directors, Board of Supervisors.
Oh, of course, you need a vote. I'm
yeah.
sorry. Sure, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I second it.
Good. We've already had the discussion.
Right.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Did you want these bond councils to make a presentation, or they're just here if we have some questions?
They are here to answer any questions.
12-2C to 15?
That's correct.
There you go. Anybody have any questions for the councils?
Not I, thank you.
Not me, thank you.
All right. Takes care of that, I think. The next is a motion to adjourn.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say we'll get to public comment, but why don't you go first?
Whichever committee comments are after, I just wanted before you adjourned. I did have one. I wanted to welcome the two new members. I certainly am very familiar with Mr. Davies. I've known him for a number of years. He's going to do a great job, and welcome to the board and certainly to our newest member here. I also wanted to let you know that I did run into our past member, Lisa Hughes, this past week, and let her know we had a PFAC meeting coming, and so she asked that I bring her holiday greetings Great. From her to the group here. She was a board member for a number of years, a former chair, and so she wanted me to let you know that she was wishing you a Merry Christmas, Happy Great. New Year, Happy Holidays.
That's great news. Did you have a comment or question?
No. Any
public comments? Any committee comments?
Nope.
I wish everyone the best of holidays and Christmas. And we stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.